Hey, I'm Michelle.
And I'm Christy. And we're new moms in old bodies.
If you're a new mom in your 30s or 40s, great news.
You're trending.
But the advice out there is so 2012. And we quickly learn that what works for those young 20-something moms and what works for us is completely different.
I mean, think about how much you have changed in the last 15 or 20 years. Our minds, bodies, and spirits are so different. The advice that's focused on younger moms just doesn't quite fit what's happening with us. So we're here to talk about that. All of that.
So if you're using eye cream with your diaper cream, then you're in the right place. Click subscribe to join the Old Moms Club podcast and come along this journey with us as we figure out what the heck we're doing as new moms in old bodies.
Hey moms, this is Michelle and Christy coming to you from my bathroom floor today. You know, sometimes we just got to figure out how to multitask. And so Ava is in the bathtub while we are doing this podcast.
It sounds like she's contributing already.
Oh yeah, she's quite talkative, but you know what? At least it's happy chatter. So we're just going to roll with it.
It is like all day long now. And it's just this long, it's like one long strand, a word that lasts all day long.
Oh yeah. Ava is, I don't know. It's almost like she woke up one day a few days ago and is all of a sudden like pronouncing her words a lot better. So it's like, she's what, almost 20 months now. And before it was like, pretty much only I could understand what she was saying. And now all of a sudden you can like actually understand her. It's kind of wild. It's fun. Yeah, no,
it is not. It's like, and then she just stares at you like, what?
Come on. Oh, that's cute. I kind of miss when I didn't really know what Ava was saying sometimes. She's very into emotions right now. So she's like, we're working on naming our emotions and she loves it. But let's just say this girl is an emotional, she is full of them. Yeah.
Speaking of emotional, I was wondering about this today because I had this situation at school that I wanted to share on the pod because it's hilarious. But, and I think we did, but did we discuss earlier why your first nanny canceled, like why she didn't work out?
Yeah, because she got her period.
Okay. So I teach middle school, right? And yeah. Girl that didn't show up today, her dad is raising her. And so like, it's kind of like into the day. And he sends me an email that says, blank, won't be at school today because she started her period.
I will say I do give a total free pass to like a girl, especially a girl who's being raised by her dad, because you know her dad was not prepared with the adequate supplies.
He absolutely wasn't. And I just know like how mortified, like she would die if she knew that he had sent an email to her teachers that said that. But at this time, he probably was like, I don't know what to tell them, you know?
I know. Well, and I'm sure he's probably had women in the past use that as an excuse. And so he's like, you know what? Women use it all the time. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Like, who is more embarrassed at their house right now? That's all I could think about. Like,
oh, you know, my gosh.
A very simple, she's not feeling well, would have sufficed.
Yes, exactly. Oh my gosh. Or maybe we need to check in on this dad. Like, does he need help? Is that why he's letting you know? Is he like, oh my God, can you please help me with that kid? I have no idea how to teach her how to use a tampon.
No, I thought our podcast is probably the only place in the world that we could talk about this.
That is a fact.
We're going to an intervention, but not tell him that's what's happening.
I know. Honestly, if I were you, I'd probably check in with her and be like, hey. I know, but how do you say like, hey, do you need help with your period? I don't know. I'm too new of a mom. I don't know how those conversations go in 15 years. Goodness.
Okay. I mean, like, I can't even, can you imagine your dad telling your teacher that?
No. No. I can't even imagine any scenario where that would feel like it was okay as a middle school girl. Oh my gosh, no. Poor girl. Well, she'll be in our thoughts and prayers tonight, that's for sure.
I don't want to go to school tomorrow because I'm so embarrassed for her.
Like secondhand embarrassment. Oh my gosh. Well, what else have you been up to?
What's going on in your world? Well, you know, Fleshman is in trouble. It's over.
I know.
It deserves a significant portion of this podcast.
I know. You know, I gotta say, I was really sad when it ended because now I feel like I've just been floundering in terms of like, you know, the moments when I actually do, when I am able to turn on the TV, I'm like, now what am I going to watch that I'm going to even enjoy at all? Like, I actually might even go back and watch Making a Murderer on Netflix that came out in like 2016.
I said that because I've been thinking like, well, maybe I'll just watch something I've already seen.
Yeah.
I didn't know why. Like, was it, it was that good, but like, it's that deep in our psyche that it's like, we can't go on without Dr. Fleshman.
I know. There must be a season two.
I Googled and it's not, there's not yet. Like the end was the end. And like, we need to know what happens to that little girl.
And we kind of left the whole thing with Rachel just up in the air.
Which was weird too, because she wasn't, I mean, she was a main character, but it wasn't about her.
I know. Well, I don't know. It was created after a book. So sometimes, you know what, I will say, sometimes it is best to leave like just a good show and not try and ruin it with creating new stories in multiple seasons. Oh, but I'm gonna miss it. Maybe in a few months I'll rewatch it. Yeah. Now that I know how it ends.
It was a really, really, really good show. Fleshman is in Trouble on Hulu. We are not paid to say that. It's just awesome. So check it out.
Good. And there are so many like good mom moments in there that are so relatable. Like there is an episode that's all about birth trauma that is, it's really interesting because I feel like even for myself, I didn't really process my birth or Ava's birth and that experience for like months and months and months after. So if you haven't listened to our very first episode to find out how Ava was born, they ended up using forceps after what I think 21 hours of labor, they used forceps to get her out. Personally, like looking back on it now, I'm like, I'm pretty sure because I felt like I could keep going and I told them that. And Ava was not showing any signs of stress if she was, they didn't communicate that to me. So part of me is kind of like, well, what's the rush then? You know, like why not allow me to keep pushing? Because yes, 21 hours is a long time, but the reality is like people have been in labor for significantly longer throughout history. So, and had perfectly normal, healthy, you know, birthing experiences. So I guess I don't really understand what the rush was. There was nothing explained to me. It was just like, you're going to have this baby. And honestly, she was born shortly before midnight. And part of me wonders, were they just rushing me because they wanted to go home? They were like, okay, shift is over at midnight or whatever. So we got to get you done with this. I don't know, but reflecting back on it, I feel like there's a lot of things that if I were to ever have a second baby, I would have really advocated for myself differently in those moments, asked a lot more questions.
100%. Looking back on it now, having the experience that I had, I am growing increasingly disappointed in medicine for women.
Yes. Oh, okay. So I actually saw something on Instagram maybe earlier today, and it was a guy on a podcast talking about his experience getting a vasectomy. And he was the one who mentioned, he was like, you know, honestly, they explained the entire procedure to me. They got my approval for every single thing that they did. I had multiple appointments to explain it to me, multiple appointments to check on me after. And they were like reaching out to me via phone to make sure everything, my healing was going okay. And he was like, and it was honestly a simple outpatient procedure. And I remember even, so Matt got a vasectomy when Ava was maybe 4 or 5 months, months old. And it seemed to not be that big of a deal. Like he went by himself, drove himself home. Like it, he was kind of fine after, you know? And so it, to me, it's just like, wow, there's so much better care even for a man's vasectomy. And then I was telling one of my girlfriends who's pregnant right now and going to have a baby next month, I was telling her, I was like, make sure they check you before you leave the hospital. Because one other thing that I think is fine, kind of strange, is that even given the fact that I had what was labeled a traumatic birth experience, being that they had to use forceps and there was damage from that, no one checked me at all before I left the hospital.
Ever.
And I was like, what in the world? Like, I just birthed a human being and you're going to send me home and not check me. And it didn't even register to me that they didn't do that until like significant months and months later. And then I was like, wait, no one actually even checked on me. Right. So strange.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's
still, what was your experience like? Because you were there for quite a bit longer.
There's a lot to be desired there in the medical. We were there about a week because Eden had to stay, but it was the same now that you're saying that. No one ever checked me out. Like it was never about me. You know, we were there for her. But yeah, it wasn't, there was nothing for me.
And you had a C-section, right?
No, I didn't have.
Oh, you didn't. I don't know why I always think you had a C-section. Maybe because you were there for so long.
Probably because I was there for so long. No, and the birth part was super easy for me, but still they should look or something, right?
Yeah, very true. Oh, it was my other girlfriend, Jessica, who had a C-section. And she's the one who's going to have a baby in February. And she's going to try for a VBAC, like a vaginal birth after cesarean. So that'll be interesting. She was like, honestly, I don't even know what I need. And I was like, here's all the stuff you need. And I told her, I was like, I'm just going to go through what I told her to get right now, because there might be someone listening who
exactly
has yet to have a baby. So I told her, I was like, okay, so you're going to need pads, like the big kind from the hospital. I just got the exact same brand and I Amazoned it to my house, like before I left. And then you liked the ice pack pads. I did not. I thought they felt like a soggy diaper, but you liked them.
I did like them.
So
I like them. So that is, it's kind of like the combination of a pad and Icy Hot. And you open it and it's like ice. So, you know, it's the equivalent of holding an ice. Yeah.
And it works for me. I was like, okay, great. It worked for like 10 minutes. And then I was like, okay, get it off of me because it's gross.
Yeah. At 10 minutes, I thought was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of true. So the pad and then Dermaplast that you spray directly on yourself. And then the tux pads, you line the tux pads with witch hazel on top of the pad before you put it on.
And all of this for the purpose
that is like a magic pad sandwich.
Yeah. And all for the purpose of pain relief. Like the Dermaplasty spray is a numbing agent
that they use. Amazing.
Yes. And you can actually just spray it directly on yourself.
Yep. And I really liked the Freedom Mom. I forget what it's called, but it's like the little spray bottle. But at the hospital, they just gave me like a regular squirt bottle because you can't wipe yourself like right after. You have to like spray the water. And I actually put a few drops of lavender in my spray bottle and that worked great. But like with the spray bottle, I didn't like the one from the hospital because the Frida Mom one had like an angled sprayer neck or something. I don't really know how to.
Oh, they have a name.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, Perry bottle.
Yes.
I actually have mine right here. Since I'm in the bathroom on the floor, it's in my bottom shelf. Oh, I don't know why I kept all my stuff, given that Matt had a vasectomy. Just in case that thing doesn't work. I'm not throwing this stuff away quite yet. Oh, gosh. But wow, we went way off track from what we were going to talk about today, which was 2023 goals. And somehow we're talking about Perry bottoms, or wait, what is it? Perry bottles and
giving birth. But I did just want to say one thing that really stood out to me about Fleshman is in Trouble, and then we can talk about our goals.
Okay.
Is at like the first couple of episodes, Claire Danes' character has postpartum depression, but we don't know that that's what's going on with her. We just think she's being some kind of way. And we don't know that that's what's going on with her, but it shows a scene that really, really stood out to me because she was freaking out about her baby. She thought developmentally something was wrong with her baby because he was delayed in smiling and he wouldn't smile. And so she was and that is one thing. They will take care of your baby. As much as they do not take care of the moms, they do take care. I felt like they do take really good care of the babies.
Yeah, for sure.
There are all of these milestones, you know, eye contact and smiling and every single movement that they make from the time they're born, you're going to have a checklist of like, this happens day one, day two, day three, until they're like 16. I don't know. But there's a time and she's really worried because the baby won't smile. And she takes it to the doctor and says, the baby won't smile, like something's wrong with my baby, the baby won't smile at me. And the doctor says, smiling is a learned behavior. And like they never, they took care of the baby, but they never asked her.
Yeah. You
know, like it's a learned behavior. And so clearly it's not happening in their house, but still no one checked on her.
Yeah. I know. I think that's all too common. We need to do better, y'all. Your new mom friends and make sure they're doing okay.
Yes.
And even if they don't respond or don't want you to come over, like just checking in, I think makes a huge difference in making people feel like they're not alone.
I think checking in makes a huge difference and you can still send them something and not go over there.
Yes.
Oh, even, yes. You know,
that's so true. Like I will say I had one of my girlfriends from who lives in Minnesota come and visit, and she stayed for a week and I actually loved it because I think Ava was maybe like 6 or 8 weeks old. Like she was still young, but I loved it because she had no expectations. She was like, yes, I'm coming down here, but I'm just coming down here to see you and Ava. So I didn't feel like I needed to like entertain her, which I was kind of worried about feeling that way. And then she literally would just sit there at night and hold Ava for hours so I could like take a quick nap or do laundry or whatever. And that was amazing. So that was super helpful.
Yeah.
I always offer that to a mom. Or honestly, I guess now I'm like, if I had someone that was a new mom that lived close to me, I'd be like, hey, do you need me to come over and like load your dishwasher or send over a maid? Or that's going to be my new baby shower gift to my friends, is sending over a maid about 3 weeks after they have a baby.
Or even just DoorDash them some food. I think that time we were talking about the meal plan boxes, because that was kind of a very, very life-saving thing at that moment.
And still, like, we just had one tonight. We love them. It's like, then you don't have to think about what to have for dinner. It's like, we get two a week. Mm-hmm. And so it's like on a night when we just don't want to think about it. And honestly, it feels like when you're married, at least 40% of your conversations are around what you're going to eat.
Eating too, though.
That's true. And it's like, oh my God, sometimes we just get really sick of asking each other, like, what do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? Do you want to eat this? No. Oh my gosh. It's like, pick something. So that kind of eliminates that issue, which is wonderful.
This is a good segue going into what we want to do for 2023, which was what this show is about. As if you can't tell.
Yeah. Do you make resolutions or intentions or anything like that?
So I do. And that's why I said that was a good segue. I, you know, am going to, I'm going to go on a date on Friday. And I know that we had talked about that some earlier, but not just in the dating realm. I think as moms and just being more health conscious and just trying to do better at connecting with people,
yeah,
I like to find an activity that you can do on a regular basis with people that doesn't involve food. You know, like
what would that even be, honestly? I guess I did do tennis lessons earlier this year, and that was awesome.
I mean, like, that's what we do. If it's a first date, what are you going to do? You're going to go eat. Like, if you're going to hang out with your friends, what are you going to do? You're going to go to dinner. Like, everything we do is around something that 90% of the time is super unhealthy. You know, and it's not the best way to connect with people. So I don't know, like, maybe instead of being like, hey, do you want to go to lunch? I'm going to say, hey, do you want to go for a hike?
And that's a great idea. I feel like I used to do that a lot when I lived in LA, but Dallas does not have very great hikes.
Right.
So one thing that we're doing is, and I've sent out a couple invites to a couple moms that I know too, because I'm really trying to do a lot more play dates this year for Ava and also for myself. It's kind of like two birds with one stone, right?
Right.
And so we are getting memberships at a lot of places. Like, we got one for the Perot, the Science Museum that's here in Dallas. And they actually have like an awesome children's museum and activity center and a little section for toddlers. It's amazing. It was $100 for our family. And I think parking is $5 each time we go. And how many times can I go? I think we've already gone 4 times just since we got our membership. So I'm like, it's already paid for itself. And then we have one to the Arboretum, you know, things like that, because it's so much more cost effective than, like, for example, we were doing Little Gym before, and that's like here in Dallas, the one that we went to was like $139 a month for one class a week. So I'm like, you know what? We can make better use of our money, which is actually one of my goals.
There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Connecting with people in a way that does not involve food is one of mine, but at the same time, connecting with people in a way that does, because I really like cooking. And I mean, that's something that I didn't discover until very late in life, after I had a baby and I was up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, cooking these meals. I discovered that I really liked it. And now when I find somebody else that really likes it, it is kind of fun, you know, but like Central Market has a ton of fun classes. There's so much fun that you can do with it and so many ways to make it fun. So I think just the way you connect with people, I would like to be different for 2023.
I love that. I actually haven't thought anything about my social life for my 2023 intentions. I haven't gotten that far. I usually do like a word of the year that I kind of, you know, hope will just guide me. So last year it was present. And so I did things like set limits on my phone. They actually have this cool feature on iPhones called downtime. So you can actually schedule downtime on your phone where it basically grays out anything on your phone, all the apps on your phone. And you can, you know, say with the exception of phone calls or whatever. But it's awesome. So I did that so I can be a little bit more present. And then this year, my word is joy, because I have found that I have a tendency to like let little minor annoyances get to me more than they really need to. I think some of that is just from being exhausted. but you know, I, regardless of the reason, I don't want stupid little inconveniences to steal my joy. You know, I feel like there's little for such a short amount of time that I really want to cherish that time and not let me having a bad attitude about random stupid things ruin those moments. So my word for the year is joy.
I love it. So my word, I picked 3 words for the year this year. I'm planning on being busy. But actually my words are the opposite of that. I picked 3 words. I picked peace, ease, and sorry, there was something glitchy happening with the connection.
I'm texting you.
Picked peace, ease, and connection. I mean, no, I didn't. Peace, because last year was spent in custody court, which we still, we'll get there on the podcast. We'll get there. Ease, kind of for the same reason. But now I feel like we're into different routines. We're making better habits for ourselves. And I do just feel overall like this huge weight has been lifted and this year is going to be a lot easier. And I like the idea, you know, just overall as a theme in my life, not just necessarily for the year, but for a theme in my life. And I've had this conversation lately, and I know like you and I met through a networking group, and you know, there are all these, we've talked about the buzzwords and like boss babe and like, she's such a boss babe. And I'm not going for that. I want ease, you know? And so like with my new business, where I can stay home, set my own schedule, make just as much money, wear my yoga pants if I want, have messy hair if I want, you know, and still be that like kind, warm, authentic person and not have to put on this boss babe persona. I feel like that, like the gentleness of that in itself is so much more powerful than these women that have to get up and do, you know, the whole thing to like prove their worth to a man.
I love that. And honestly, I think with your other word connection, that really just draws people to you too. If you just like lead with ease and grace, you know? Hmm? Yeah. So I might have to steal ease for next year's word.
I feel like this year is just going to be, it's kind of overall, it's just the feeling of, you know, soaking up the goodness and just stepping over the rest of it.
Which I feel like that's kind of what we have to do in general, isn't it?
Right. Yes. Yes.
That is like the definition of motherhood.
That is the definition of motherhood. Mm-hmm. Or
okay, Matt just walked in the room, so I was like, hey, do you want to take her real quick? Because otherwise I have a naked baby running around behind me.
There have been so many times in this podcast today that I've tried so hard to not laugh out loud. Michelle has done everything in her power to keep Ava quiet. She's over there like making faces, whipping out her boobs, like telling her she's talking to Ava. Matt walks in the room. And still, here we are, because peace, ease, connection. We're doing this for you. This is for you guys.
Yes. You know what? And some days you just got to figure out how to get it done. And we are. And look at me now. Now I'm in a room all by myself.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So one of my other goals for 2023, just as a family, you know, Matt and I got married during the pandemic and then got pregnant with Ava. And I just feel like it was so easy to just let the stuff that you normally do, like change your last name and change all your documents and all that. It was so easy to let so much of that go because we weren't going anywhere or doing anything anyway for so long. So now I have like a list of the final places where I need to change my last name. And then the other thing that we haven't done is we haven't merged our finances at all. And so, which is kind of weird at this point, now that we have Ava, I don't know. Is it weird? Do people keep separate finances when they're married now? I don't know.
I think that could be a very controversial discussion.
Yeah, I think it is. And it hasn't really, I guess it doesn't even bother me to have separate finances, honestly. Like I have, we have a joint credit card and I put all of our family stuff on my joint credit card. And then the money that I make through my business, which is not a ton of money at this point, just because I'm like working part-time, right? But that money, I do whatever I want with it. Basically, I'll like, you know, whatever, give it to someone that I know who needs something or buy, you know, something that I want that I don't want to ask Matt for, put on the credit card, you know, an overpriced pair of shoes or something, whatever. So it's kind of like one of those, his money is our money and my money is my money. So it hasn't really bothered me, but what I did have started thinking about is like, okay, well, what would happen if something were to happen to one of us? Like I put him as a benefactor on my account. And then I was like, but if something were to happen to him and I needed to suddenly take care of all the bills and do all that, I don't even know who we pay our mortgage to. Like, I don't even know. So, and it sounds crazy, but I've talked to a lot of other women lately and most of the women I've spoke to don't know either. They're like, oh my gosh, if something happened to my husband, I would have no idea what to do. Like, I don't know where any of our money is. I don't know where our bills are. And that's a surprisingly common thing. And I feel like that's insane, right? So I'm like, this is just crazy. So we set up a joint account today and then I started like the Mint budgeting app for us, for our family. And I linked all of my own personal cards and stuff like that, that I have. So, you know, we're getting there slowly but surely. And then I reached out to a local attorney who deals with like estate planning and I want to get our wills in place. Because that's really important to me. Like Matt has three adult children and I want to make sure that like, if something were to happen to him or if something were to happen to both of us, that there's a plan in place so that the stress is not left for our loved ones to try and wade through and figure out. Cause that's just not fair. So that is a huge, huge goal of ours this year, is to just combine things and get our budget in order and just become financially fit. Yep. And that will bring me joy.
Bring me joy. That's awesome.
Yeah. I guess I never really thought about it or cared about it before I had a child. And then now that I have Ava, I'm like, wow, I really need to make sure that we have things in order to make sure that she has a safe, healthy, happy life, no matter what happens.
So. And so that's interesting, or that's a good way to kind of look at it, because I recently, I mean, within the last 2 or 3 weeks, wrote my personal will as well. And it's really an interesting way to put things into perspective. Like, where are you spending your time right now? Where is your money going right now? You know, what do you want it to look like in the future?
Yeah, I know. And, you know, a lot of these things are super unsexy to talk about. And I even feel like I get a little bit of resistance from that in talking about our wills and things like that. But because no one likes to face their mortality, right? But to me, it's not about me. It's about like the people that are in my life that I love, and what do I want their experience to be? So I don't know. It makes things very clear and easy. And if you don't have a will, y'all, the court system decides who gets what, and they take a huge percentage of anything that you have left. Like, let's say you have $1 million, right? Then the probate court that determines where your money goes, if ends up like they end up taking like 400,000 or something like that. You know, it's like a huge percentage. And that is just doing a disservice to your loved ones. So go and at least do a legal Zoom and get it notarized.
Right.
There are, at the bare minimum, whip up a quick legal Zoom.
Just something inexpensive you can do. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And I read that you have to get it notarized as well. So okay. Someone has to notarize it for it to be considered a legal document. So things that we don't like to talk about, tip of the day.
Started with periods, we ended with money.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. I know. And you know what? We actually still have our questions from our Q&A episode that we were going to do. So we should be doing our Q&A episode next time.
I think we'll do the Q&A episode next time. Yes, mm-hmm. I agree with that. Do Q&A next time. We still have custody court to go over. We still have hyperemesis to go over. There's still a ton that we haven't, you know, when Michelle originally like pitched this idea to me, I thought we're going to run out of things to talk about. And we still haven't got finished with, I mean, hyperemesis is when you're pregnant, you know, like we still haven't even made it through that much yet. There's just so much involved in life.
And I feel like, yeah. And I feel like as motherhood changes and as your child is like going through all these different phases, there's so many topics that are just coming up that become wildly popular or concerning or controversial. And apparently we are good at bringing up controversial topics. So we're just going to keep it going all year long. Whatever y'all want to talk about, drop us a DM on Instagram, Old Moms Club Podcast, and we would love to hear from you. All right. Happy New Year.
See you next week.
That's our cue to go. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Old Moms Club Podcast and join our Old Moms Club Podcast page on Facebook.